This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Buffalo's own editor-in-chief over at Raw Story, Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning. Happy game day.
Happy game day. There's a game today?
Oh.
We got something going on with football?
Oh, man. Dave. I'll tell you, if there was a fast-forward button, I don't know if I've ever said this before, I'd fast-forward to 6:30 on a Sunday.
I'm full. You can't see me because I'm on the radio, of course, but, decked out in full Bills gear, Zuba's pants, the whole nine yards here. But we're going to win this game, Joe.
Oh, I hope so. We just had Mayor Byron Brown on, and he has a bet. He's either sending wings to Kansas City or they're sending barbecue up here. And I told him, I said, I think at 10 o'clock tonight, the barbecue will be on its way to Buffalo.
I very much hope so.
We will, Dave, we'll talk about the game. We'll do a little political stuff, and then we'll end on Bill's game day talk. I also have a Buffalo question for you. That's what we call a tease in this interview. But while we were too busy getting snowed in here in Western New York, there was the Iowa caucus. Any surprise out of Iowa?
No, there really wasn't surprises. If there was any surprise at all, is that Donald Trump didn't even win a little bit bigger than he ultimately did. It seemed pretty much that the chances for Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis were zero to win, and really the only question was whether Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis was going to finish second. We got the answer to that, Ron DeSantis, by a hair's breadth, but When you're down 30 percentage points to the guy who actually won, that's a pretty big drubbing, and hardly any momentum for either of the candidates going into New Hampshire, save for Nikki Haley, who's got a little bit, and I suspect we'll get to New Hampshire in a moment here, but she's got to win New Hampshire, and that's almost certainly not going to happen. So Donald Trump running away with this election seems to be more and more likely as the days go on.
So even with DeSantis getting second place, when I think a lot of people thought he'd be third, we're not seeing that spark out of the campaign?
No. And what kind of spark can you get when you won about 21 percentage points, 21% of the vote, and you're going into New Hampshire and you're going to lose terribly? There's no chance that he's going to even finish second based on any of the polling that has been going on. And so where does he go from here? Well, Donald Trump almost certainly is going to win Nevada. Donald Trump is leading by a country mile in South Carolina, which Ron DeSantis is trying to be competitive in, but that's Nikki Haley's home state. And then you got a couple of other states in Super Tuesday, and everything is showing up Trump in most of those states as well. So you can only lose so many times before you have to acknowledge the fact that you're probably not going to win this thing. And that's where Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, if they're not there yet, they're getting pretty darn close. And a decisive win for Donald Trump in New Hampshire may end that story before we even have a chance to write another chapter.
The turnout in Iowa, we know, was a big talking point going into Monday because of the frigid temperatures. Was the turnout lower than expected, as expected? Where did that rank for the 2024 caucus?
I think you can call it as expected for the conditions. It was just incredibly cold. I mean, the wind chills were down near negative 30, the ambient air temperature below zero. It was not a comfortable evening for people who were going out to the caucuses, even by Iowa standards. And I've been to Iowa caucuses before, and it's never warm in Iowa in January, just like it's never not snowy in Buffalo in January. But even so, this was pretty extreme for Iowa. So there was about 15% of registered Republicans who actually went out and caucused. So the vast majority of Republicans, they did stay home. Now, had it been balmy temperatures and sunny and 40, would that have changed anything for Donald Trump? Probably not, but it may have motivated some people to get out who didn't, number one. But you got to feel like your candidate has a chance to win. There are going to be a certain requisite number of people who will go out and they will vote because they believe it's their civic duty. They want to support their candidate through thick and thin. But you also, too, have a better chance when you are motivating your people and people think that they have a legitimate chance of seeing the candidate that they support win. And that wasn't the case in Iowa if the candidate that you were supporting wasn't Donald Trump.
So you mentioned, you know, obviously New Hampshire is coming up next. Trump has a lead there. Nevada, South Carolina. Where are these candidates, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, where do they think the turnaround's going to happen? And is there proof of a turnaround happening if they just stay a little bit longer?
So for Nikki Haley, it is New Hampshire. And if she is able to get really close to Donald Trump, or even somehow pull out a victory, then that would be that moment for Nikki Haley. If she doesn't win or she finishes second and it isn't really close, then it's hard to understand what case she can make, not only to voters in states that are coming up, but also too from a practical standpoint, Joe, her donors, people who are fueling her campaign so she quite literally can pay people on her staff and travel around the country. You end up running out of money after a while, too, if you have nobody who continues to, you know, you need people to keep shoveling the coal into your furnace here. And if that doesn't happen, then, well, kind of game over. So at Nikki Haley, that's New Hampshire. For Ron DeSantis, he's more or less conceded that he's not going to do well in New Hampshire. Nevada is almost a lost cause for him. So South Carolina very much becomes his Waterloo, politically speaking, so to speak. And if he doesn't do well there and he doesn't even, you know, place second, then it's also very difficult to understand how Ron DeSantis can make the case going forward. One giant caveat here, and this is not really getting a lot of attention. It's something that you don't like to think about, but Donald Trump is 77 years old, and I've talked to numerous political operatives and kind of posed this question, or they posed it to me, which is, well, you know, maybe these candidates are just trying to stay in as long as they can in case Donald Trump, for one reason or another, has a medical issue that doesn't allow him to go forward, or his legal issues catch up to him faster than expected. If you are a candidate still and you're still in the game, even if you're in second or third place, then you're on the playing field and you can make a more compelling case at that point to be the backup, be the backup for the Republican Party. Now, we're talking about some serious Hail Mary passes here, right? But at the same time, too, this is basically the stage that we're at in the Republican primary when you're not talking about Donald Trump being the nominee, because the fact of the matter is Donald Trump is almost certain, no matter what goes on, to be the nominee unless something catastrophic happens.
So right now, I mean, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, who's going to be the John Kasich and just stay there even when it's not mathematically possible?
Neither of them might. It's entirely possible that there will be no such person on the Republican side and that both of them will drop out. You still have Asa Hutchinson in the race. Remember him? He got about 1% of the vote in Iowa. I think less than that when all the votes were tallied. He's still there. He still went to New Hampshire. He hasn't dropped out. So maybe he sticks around, but that's just about it. All the other candidates who were name players, the Mike Pences and the Tim Scotts and the Chris Christies, they've all left. Vivek Ramaswamy, who was there for Iowa, he too has dropped out, and you know, he endorsed Donald Trump. So there's just not many people left to go forward with, and yeah, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, again, if they're just simply flaming out and running out of money and there's no reasonable chance that they can win anything over the next several weeks going into Super Tuesday, then sure, I guess they could keep their campaign going, but it's not going to be much of a campaign. It'll basically be a zombie effort all the way to the march to Milwaukee, where the Republican National Convention.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's going to be held in July of this year.
Now, if you're President Biden in the White House, you want candidates to stay as long as possible, right? Because you're getting free attacks at Donald Trump without it being you attacking Donald Trump. This can't be playing well for the White House if the primaries end before all 50 states are done.
Yeah, it's not going to be any help to them if it's just Donald Trump versus Joe Biden starting in February or March of this year. Then the general election, in essence, begins in earnest, and there is no primary to be had. There's no further distraction intramurally for Donald Trump, and as a result, that's going to mean that Joe Biden is going to have to have those direct fusillades from Donald Trump in a way that goes even above and beyond what it is right now. But Donald Trump is kind of lately been ignoring to a large extent Ron DeSantis, and Nikki Haley's gotten some attention from him, but Donald Trump very much sees himself as somebody who's just ready to be coronated by the Republican Party, that there's nothing except a little bit of distraction here for him, but that he is the nominee in waiting, that he is going to be the person who gets the party's nod, and that it is going to be him and Joe Biden. So if you listen to him talk at any of his rallies or in some of the comments that he's making on social media or whatnot, a lot of that is already directed at Joe Biden. It's already being directed and articulated in a way that is, for most people, I think would be presumed to be a general election type message as opposed to a primary election type message. So Donald Trump is going through the primary motions for sure, but he definitely has November on his mind, not so much January and February, or at least as much as you would think when somebody is running in a primary season and it's still pretty early on.
Now, something to keep your eye on more than the primary schedule might be Donald Trump's court schedule. What's that look like the next few months?
Well, that's sort of the huge ultimate unknown question here is what effect is this going to have? Now, let's review. Donald Trump is facing four separate criminal cases. There are 91 felony counts among those four cases, and that's not including the civil trials that Donald Trump is party to for his business and also the defamation portion of his civil trial with E. Jean Carroll, the writer who he already has been found civilly liable for sexually assaulting. So put that all together, and Donald Trump has this massive, gigantic legal cloud that's hanging over him. But we've also been saying that for about 2 years, that Donald Trump has a massive, giant legal cloud. When is the cloud going to start storming? When is it going to start raining? Well, arguably it has, at least in some measure, especially on the civil front. And if Donald Trump is slapped with a nine-figure penalty for his business dealings, for example, that's going to definitely have an effect on him. Now, the criminal trials, they're going to be on their own schedule, and we still don't really have a clear calendar for when all of those trials are going to begin. One of them is slated to begin in March, but that could get bumped. And Donald Trump, of course, is for months and months, him and his legal team been pressing to get those trials bumped back until after Election Day in November. So is that going to happen? Probably not. But are all four of these trials going to start taking place and simultaneously or in an overlapping fashion during the actual election? Probably not either. One or two of them may take place, and the others could get bumped back. And Donald Trump can't be in four courtrooms at the same time either. But all of this is going to begin to come to a head in a major way during the summer and the fall. And you better believe that Joe Biden and the Democrats are going to be talking about this day in and day out and what it's going to be looking like for a country where the president of the United States is literally on trial. He's been accused with all of these different crimes, and that he's somebody who's been found liable in federal courts for other types of violations of a different sort. And Joe Biden is already making the case, but will continue to do so much more as time goes on, that do we want this? Do we want this to be the American ideal? Is this what we want in our president of the United States? Is this somebody who should be leading the country while he has all of those things going on for him in a legal sense in courts of law?
Final primary question, Dave, and then we'll get talking Bills Chiefs. Who is Dean Phillips, and why, according to the ARG poll, does he have 33% of the vote in New Hampshire?
Well, Dean Phillips is a congressman from Minnesota, and he's sort of the voice of opposition internally to Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. There are two other Democratic candidates who are running who are at least on the radar to a tiny degree. One is Dean Phillips, and the other is Marianne Williamson, the author who ran for president in 2020 and sort of had a little blip, a little moment where she was ascendant and then just kind of fell into the doldrums of political nowhere. But both of them are on the ballot in New Hampshire. And without getting into all the gory details, New Hampshire was not supposed to be the first Democratic primary, but because New Hampshire, first of all, loves the fact that it has traditionally been the first state to conduct a primary, and also, too, because it's actually in state law that New Hampshire has to go before everyone else, New Hampshire ignored the Democratic National Committee's mandate that it actually go not first this time around, and that a state that has a greater degree of diversity in its population actually go first. So South Carolina was penciled in for that. So New Hampshire defied the Democratic Party. Joe Biden went along with Democratic Party rules to say that I'm basically going to not contest New Hampshire. I'm not going to register and be on the ballot. So that's given sort of a curious opportunity for Dean Phillips and Marianne Williamson to jump in and be candidates who are on the ballot when Joe Biden is not. Now, voters will still be able to write in Joe Biden. And mind you, Democrats will be voting in this primary, but independents in New Hampshire can vote too, and they can choose to vote in either the Republican or the Democratic primary. So we could get some really screwy results, Joe, where you have Joe Biden losing New Hampshire. You have Dean Phillips potentially winning. Maybe you're going to get some significant protest votes, too, for everyone from, you know, Mickey Mouse to Ronald Reagan and everyone in between. I mean, who knows really what's truly going to happen here? The voters will allow us to find out in just a couple of days' time. But Joe Biden, a lot of Democrats in New Hampshire feel that this was an unforced error on his part and that he's not really helping his cause by ignoring New Hampshire in the way that he is.
All right, Dave, I was wondering this all week, and now I'm going to ask you this. When you are down there in D.C. and you see Buffalo, Western New York get hit with back-to-back snowstorms, do you have fear of missing out?
I usually do. It makes me just want to go out and go to Chestnut Ridge Park with a toboggan or otherwise just have the kind of time that one can have when Buffalo is getting hit with a snowstorm. But we actually did get a little bit of snow here. We had two snow days here this past
Ooh.
Week. I know because I had a certain 9-year-old home with me doing his thing. And D.C., pretty much you get a couple of flakes float over the city and everything shuts down. So the infrastructure, the equipment people willing to go out and shovel stadiums to have football games. That's really not a thing here in the nation's capital.
No, I can imagine. Speaking of that game where the stadium is now all but 10% snowed out, and by the way, if you're in the stadium listening, please make sure section 338, row 33, seats 5 and 6 are snowed out. Just asking a favor. Dave, is this the biggest game to happen in Buffalo in at least a decade?
I think you have to say yes. I'm getting all the feels of when we were sitting in the stands for certain playoff games in the early 90s, and having that feeling as I'm here in D.C., wishing very, very much so that I was in Buffalo, although, I would like to be thinking around 10 o'clock tonight that I will be on a computer looking for tickets for a certain stadium in Baltimore coming up. But, yeah, I got to imagine that this is just about as big as anything that we felt for a home game, for sure. And the fact that it's Kansas City, the fact that we have had the season that we've had, and the tumult and turbulence and the idea in November that we're going to have to come to grips with not making the playoffs. And here we are, three victories away from a Super Bowl. Let's not talk in those, dramatic fashions too much here, but we got a game to win today. And if we win it, then I can't imagine that not really being vaulted up to the top Bills victories in team history for practical reasons and for kind of spiritual reasons too, and being able to go and exercise the demons of Kansas City in the playoffs over the couple of past years.
I had a feeling that if they win, you'd be looking at those Baltimore tickets, Dave. I knew that would be the case.
Not a moment before the game ends, but about 2 seconds after the game does. Yeah, that'll be happening.
Looking at this team, obviously the Bills and Chiefs both banged up. I think, any team in the playoffs now dealing with their number of injuries. What are you expecting? What is your prediction for 6:30 tonight?
I'm going to say 27-20, and that certain quarterback, you may have heard of him, his name is Josh Allen, may be a kind of the linchpin factor here in this game with all of those injuries on both sides. So long as Josh Allen is there under center, I think we've got a very, very good chance of winning the game.
I agree. I think 34-31, Dave, is the score I gave on Friday, and I'm sticking with it.
Hey, look, I'll take 4-2 if it comes down to it and the Bills are victors at the end.
A game of safeties. Well, Dave, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you're on that computer looking for the cheapest or the best, whatever it is, tickets you can find in Baltimore. I hope that, and always a pleasure talking with you, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.